Since the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which goes back to the 1967 June War and occupies it to this day, occupies the West Bank and controls the Gaza Strip, the UN has described this occupation as the longest belligerent occupation in the modern world. The occupation authorities have used a military judiciary system to incarcerate or detain about 800,000 Palestinian men, women, and children since 1967. And with the majority of the arrests being men, about 40%, 4 out of every 10 Palestinian males in the occupied territories have been arrested or detained. To wrap your head around that, that would be the equivalent of close to 65 million American males incarcerated or detained. According to the prisoner rights group Adamir, quote, many Palestinian detainees plead guilty for offenses they did not commit and waive their right to continue with judicial procedures, often because of a lack of faith in the Israeli court systems to deliver fair and timely verdicts, unquote. Michael Sephard, a very prominent human rights attorney based in Israel who has defended many Palestinians, said the Israeli legal system is set up around the machinery of plea bargaining. Quote, if Palestinian defendants were to say they were no longer doing plea deals, the system would collapse the next day, unquote. Israel has a long history of torturing Palestinians in its custody to force them into making false confessions and accepting plea deals with a reduced sentence. In the occupied territories, Palestinians are tried in military court. Israeli settlers are prosecuted in civilian courts, and they enjoy far greater rights. And I'm providing this context because recently Israel went to its plea bargain playbook with a Palestinian who refused to play by Israel's rules and paid a steep price. Mohammed Halabi is his name. Mohammed Halabi, he was the head of World Vision's Gaza office. He was arrested in 2016. Israel claimed he funneled $50 million to Hamas, the governing entity of Gaza, over a 7-year period. $50 million over a 7-year period. Never mind that it was proven the math doesn't come close to making any sense. World Vision stated that its entire 10-year Gaza budget is $22.5 million, making a joke of the claim that Halabi stole $50 million. It made huge headlines back in 2016 as Israel trumpeted the news everywhere it could. And if true, it would likely be the largest theft of international aid money ever. And more importantly to Israel, it would have been proof that Hamas is in cahoots with international aid organizations, stealing their money and turning it into weaponry that threatens Israel. World Vision is one of the world's biggest charities. It has an annual budget of $2 billion. It operates in more than 80 countries. It works to support more than 40 million of the world's poorest children. And upon news of the arrest, you know, you're not innocent until proven guilty, you're guilty until proven innocent when it comes to Palestinians. Upon news of the arrest, foreign governments, including Australia and Germany, stopped all funding to World Vision's projects in Gaza. That was a big blow, especially with Australia, which provided more than 25% of World Vision's entire Gaza budget. To this day, World Vision, despite knowing that Halabi is innocent and paying for all of his legal costs, they still shut down their projects in Gaza. Psychosocial support for some 40,000 children in desperate need, medical supplies, food relief, since 2016 have been stopped. World Vision continues to serve thousands of Palestinians in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. World Vision said they were stopping their project in Gaza until the trial ran its course. Well, it took 6 years for the trial to run its course, and it just rendered a verdict and a sentencing recently. So I don't know what World Vision will do now that the trial is over. Two journalists who have done superb investigative reporting on this are Anthony Lowenstein and Joe Dyke. Their articles are linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. I'm not going to go into them. I actually would love to because their investigative work is impeccable. It's absolute brilliant journalism. And their stories, again, are linked at the Gaza Corner section. Go to tangents.com. Hit the Tangents playlist in the left-hand column, you know, when you're able to check these out. The article that's most recent is Anthony Lowenstein's September 8th article. It's called Kafka in Gaza, How Israel Turned a Palestinian Aid Worker into a Terrorist. The arrest was made in 2016. And as I say, six-year trial, that's one of the longest trials in Israeli history. The verdict came in June, guilty. The sentencing by the Israeli court came August the 30th. He was given a 12-year prison sentence, having already served six in pretrial detention. So six more to go now in prison. According to Halabi's lawyers, his 6 years of pretrial incarceration is a record in the Israeli judicial system. That does not include the thousands of Palestinians who are never officially charged and remain behind bars for years on end in what is called administrative detention. Halabi was informed of the charges. The problem is no evidence was made public. Almost all of the hearings related to prosecution evidence were behind closed doors, kept secret. Halabi's lawyer said that the only reason the quote-unquote evidence against Halabi is kept secret is, quote, because if the information was revealed, it would be a very big scandal. People will laugh that this is the information that Israel is using. Israel would be embarrassed, unquote. As the lawyer, he was able to gain access to the so-called evidence, and that's what prompted the quote. The evidence that a legitimate court could have used to clear Halabi was either not allowed to be presented or just simply ignored. Even eyewitnesses that could have cleared Halabi were blocked from testifying. Again, attorney Maher Hanna said, quote, it's important to the prosecution and also to the court to send a message to all Palestinian detainees and prisoners that anyone who does not accept a prison sentence in a plea bargain and forces the system to hear his defense will be severely punished. This case is unprecedented in the Israeli legal system. Israel knows that Halabi is innocent. Some Israeli officials told me that. His lawyer went on to say, quote, most compellingly, they pointed out that Israeli prosecutors don't actually have a problem with releasing Halabi. At numerous junctures over the past 4 years, Israel has offered Halabi plea deals that would have let him walk free on time served had he admitted guilt. On principle, he has stubbornly refused, unquote. Mohammed Halabi has 5 children. The youngest was born in 2016. He's hardly ever seen that child. Heba Moriev, Amnesty International's regional director for the Middle East and North Africa, said after the court found him guilty, quote, the Israeli authorities' treatment of Mohammed Halabi violates all the basic guarantees on due process which are set in international human rights law. He was detained for a staggering 6 years before the verdict, interrogated without legal representation, tried in secret hearings, and convicted on secret evidence and a forced, quote-unquote, confession. Israeli authorities have utterly disregarded Mohammed Halabi's allegations that he was tortured and ill-treated in detention. The verdict simply serves to highlight how the Israeli justice system is rigged against Palestinians, unquote. Omar Shakir, the Israel and Palestine director at Human Rights Watch, called the sentence a, quote, profound miscarriage of justice. He condemned Israel for, quote, holding Halabi for 6 years based on secret evidence, which multiple investigations rejected. And he added, the Halabi case exposes how Israel uses its legal system to provide a veneer of legality to mask its ugly apartheid over millions of Palestinians. The investigative journalist, also a filmmaker and author, Anthony Lowenstein, said, quote, Halabi's sentencing exemplifies just how far Israel will go in its assault on Palestinian civil society. Michael Omerman, who is the director of research for Dawn, which is the Democracy for the Arab World Now, he said, quote, it would be a mistake to see it as an anomaly. Incommunicado detention, seeking forced confessions using torture and inhumane treatment, the use of secret evidence, and using arbitrary detention as a tool to pressure detainees into accepting plea deals are the rule, not the exception, for Palestinians in both the Israeli civilian and military legal systems, unquote. You may recall a Gaza Corner I did, or you may know anyhow, that in early August, Israel closed down 7 Palestinian NGOs, labeling them supporters of terrorism, presented evidence to the United States and the EU that did not convince either the United States or the EU of credible evidence. So the evidence was not credible, and yet the NGOs were raided and shut down. I'm not going to go into the overwhelming evidence that should have cleared Halabi, but I will quickly say this, kind of do it in a few bullet points. He did initially make a confession, and then he retracted it. And the confession was under what the UN Human Rights Office described as cruel, degrading, and inhuman treatment that may amount to torture, unquote. Also, his employer, World Vision, undertook an expensive audit of its work in Gaza to determine if any money was missing. The auditing firm, Deloitte, and the U.S. law firm, DLA Piper, found no evidence of wrongdoing, no illegal actions, and no credible evidence that Halabi worked for Hamas. In fact, his family is well known for opposing Hamas. And this audit took a year to do. It was very thorough. It reviewed every payment made by World Vision over 5 years and, quote, found no sign of missing funds and no evidence Halabi was working for Hamas. In fact, they reported that he consistently sought to distance the organization from them. And Australia, which was and is a key funder of World Vision's Gaza programs, immediately conducted its own investigation into Israel's allegations. It too found nothing, Germany, also a key contributor, did its independent investigation, found nothing. Both Germany and Australia reinstated their aid programs the following year.